A reading from the book of Genesis. In those days, Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine, and being a priest of God Most High, he blessed Abram with these words: "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, the creator of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who delivered your foes into your hand." Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. The word of the Lord.
You are a priest forever in the line of Melchizedek. You are a priest forever in the line of Melchizedek. The Lord's revelation to my Lord: "Sit at my right hand until I make your foes your footstool." You are a priest forever in the line of Melchizedek. The Lord will send from Zion your scepter of power, rule in the midst of your foes. You are a priest forever in the line of Melchizedek. With you is princely rule. On the day of your power, in holy splendor, from the womb before the dawn, I have begotten you. You are a priest forever in the line of Melchizedek. The Lord has sworn an oath he will not change. You are a priest forever in the line of Melchizedek. You are a priest forever in the line of Melchizedek.
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was handed over, took bread, and after he had given thanks, broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia. 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 I am the living bread that came down from heaven, says the Lord. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Alleluia. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus spoke to the crowds about the kingdom of God, and he healed those who needed to be cured. As the day was drawing close, 12 approached him and said, "Dismiss the crowd so that they can go to the surrounding villages and farms and find lodging and provisions. We are in a deserted place here." He said to them, "Give them some food yourselves." They replied, "Five loaves and two fish are all that we have unless we go for ourselves and buy food for these people." Now the men were numbered about 5,000. Then he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50. They did so and made him all sit down. They were taking the five loaves and the two fish, and then looking up to heaven, he blessed, then gave a blessing over them and broke them. And he gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. They all ate and were satisfied. And when the leftover fragments were picked up, they filled 12 wicker baskets." The Gospel of the Lord. Now, before I begin my homily today, I just want to give a little progress report on some of the work that we've been doing around the churches. First, the parish center over here, the former St. Peter's Rectory, everybody now is all on the first floor. We've taken the old dining room and we made it into an office, and we've painted inside. We just have to work on some of the windows upstairs because there's leakage, water coming in. There's also water coming in up over here by the Blessed Mother, and that is a clogged gutter. We're going to work on that. There's always stuff to do. And in this church now, what I want to do along the rows here, you see the chandeliers. I'm going to replace all of the lights in them, because what's happening is that in some of them, the lights that are currently in there, they are getting too hot and the wires are melting. And so the bulbs are actually falling to the floor. There's been a number of bulbs that have fallen to the floor. So now, if you're a parishioner that I don't like, I'm going to just ask you to stand underneath the light, okay? All joking aside, when you leave church today, if you want to look at that light facing right, the one in the back there, that's what they will look like with the new lighting. It's not going to be that expensive, but we want to be safe, and we want to keep everybody safe. The light, there's been a number of them that have fallen out since I've been here, and it's time to rectify that situation. Also, Thanks be to Father Ron Klingler. We are finally going to pave this summer the parking lot at the parish. I've signed the, over at St. John's, the whole entire thing. I've signed all the paperwork that needs to be sent to the diocese, and I'm hoping maybe by July or August or by the end of summer, thanks be to God, that that driveway is going to be fixed, sealed, and repaved and refinished. So please say a prayer to Father Klingler, because he loved the Basilica, and it's through his generosity that we're able to do the work that we're doing. It's little by little, the projects that, big projects that need to be done, I'm tackling them slow but sure. Painting inside the Basilica, that'll probably be the last thing that's done, but we're all used to it anyway, so a year or so waiting, you know, it'll be okay. But, you know, just to do the major repairs that need to be done. And I worked on the trees over there, and the trees have been trimmed and taken down. I do not have to ask for any money for you for the parking lot. That's thanks to Father Klingler. But I will probably ask for some money from you for trees in the cemetery, because that's going to be another project that has to be. All those trees are overgrown, and they really need, in both cemeteries, need a little bit of TLC. So we're going to be taking care of that as well very soon. From our Knights of Columbus, the Knights of Columbus have approval to collect funds for two ultrasound machines. They have approval from our diocese and from also from the Supreme Council. One machine is going to be placed at the EVA or the AVA Women's Center here on Cleveland Avenue, and the other machine will be placed in Alliance. The sites have been approved already. Two machines will cost $58,000, but we only have to raise 50%, and the other 50% will be paid by the Knights of Columbus Supreme in Connecticut. And the ultrasound machines, they only last for about 8 to 10 years. And once they wear out, they can't be refurnished. So all the Knights of Columbus in Stark County, all of our groups are working on this. And the first $2,000 in donations will be matched by the Knights of Columbus Canton Council 341, doubling your impact. So your gift can help a young mother see her baby for the first time. If a woman sees an ultrasound image of her unborn child, she is more likely to choose life. So the address to send the contribution is in our bulletin, P.O. Box. Make the check payable to the Knights of Columbus, and on the memo line, just mark ultrasound. So I want to give them a little bit of a plug today that they're collecting funds for those ultrasound machines. Lastly, if you're going to gather for the picnic after Mass, we are going to be in the hall, because it's a little bit too warm, you know, to be outside, and so we will be meeting in the hall. The pizza vendor and also the custard vendor, they're outside, but we are gathering after Mass in the hall. And this week I'm going to be going to Franciscan University of Steubenville for my retreat. I've gone several years to the Franciscan University. Why? Because they build up priests. When the priests gather from all over the United States, and it's nice to meet with talk to brother priests from the United States, because when you talk to them, they're in a mess just like we are here, you know, in our diocese. You know, so many places need vocations, and priests are doing double, triple duty. Some have 5 and 6 parishes, but you know, when you go to the Franciscan, they really they treat you like a priest. And not a pedestal. That's not what I'm talking about. They just make you feel like a priest, and they build you up on your with your vocation, which is so lacking in the church today. It's one of the only really places left that really does a really good job on supporting the priests. So pray for me. Father Cibula, Tom Cibula, will be here next weekend. I decided just to take the whole week off. So Father Tom will be having Mass here and at the Basilica next week. So I'm grateful for priests like Father Whitmer and Father Cibula, our retired priests that help us young priests. They give us a chance to go and be away for a while. And so we're grateful. I'm very grateful for our retired clergy. Now they ate and were satisfied. What can we glean from our scripture today? We celebrate the feast day of Corpus Christi, the body and blood of Christ. Now, I'm going to share a little bit with you, just a little bit, what the Eucharist means to me, but also hopefully it'll be a reflection of what the Eucharist also means to each and every one of you. And if I would ask you, I'm sure each and every one of you would give me a reflection, an opinion, or hopefully a tenet of faith of what the Eucharist means to you. A little bit of show and tell here, and for our radio audience, I'm holding in my hand what a wonderful parishioner, even though I said not to, but gave me for my 30th anniversary of priesthood. It is an icon of one of my favorite people, Father Walter Chisack. Father Walter Chisack is a servant of God from Shenandoah, Pennsylvania. And Father Walter Chisack is on his road to sainthood. He was a Jesuit priest who lived in the last century. He died in 1984. And Father Walter Chisack was a biritual priest, like I am. He can say the liturgy, he could say the Roman liturgy, and he could say the Byzantine liturgy. And he went as a priest to Russia to say the liturgy and to convert people in Russia under its godly atheism. And so he was arrested, he was thrown into prison, Lubyanka, and he was sent to Siberia. And in that particular icon of the picture that I have here, he's holding a set of grapes. And also in his arm, in his hand, very reverently, he's holding the Eucharist. Now, in this icon, they make the Eucharist rather large. But when he was in his prison cell, he would take a grape, crush the grape for a little bit of juice, and a breadcrumb, to have the Eucharist. So, that's what the Eucharist kind of means to me. Clandestinely celebrating his priesthood in a prison cell. In a prison cell for so many years. Or the Eucharist means this to me. And if I point to the tabernacle, hopefully it has the same meaning for you. And all my degrees in theology, all I have to say is he's real. His presence is real. And to speak very, very plainly to all of you, I would not be here. I would not be here speaking. I would not be giving a homily if it was not for Christ in the Blessed Sacrament. I have been tempted to leave I don't know how many times. But there is an invisible presence. There is an invisible power that comes from Christ in the tabernacle. And that's all I can explain. I can't explain it to you anymore. And if some of you who are cancer survivors, if you're a policeman, if you're a lawyer, if you've used the saints in the church to support you in your ministry, you know what the Blessed Sacrament means. It is the summit and the source, as the Catechism says, and that has not changed, of the Eucharist, of our faith. It's the summit and source of our faith. Survival. It was the survival from my grandmother with my dad and my aunt in the Hungarian border, fleeing Yugoslavia after the Second World War. Ich glaube, with our faith, with our faith, we will be able to survive. We'll be able to make it, to survive. I talked about Father Cizik a lot in my homilies, and because he's so real to me, he's so important to my priesthood and what the Eucharist really means. And let me find, because in my opening column, I have a quote from Father Cizik. When I reached the prison camps of Siberia, I learned to my great joy that it was possible to say Mass daily once again. In every camp, the priests and the prisoners would go to great length to run risks willingly, just to have the consolation of this sacrament. When I was a young seminarian in Pittsburgh, Cardinal Jan Chrysostom Koretz came from Slovakia to have Mass at St. Matthew's on the south side, Slovak Church. He was a priest that was in prison. When he was a seminarian, you have 45 minutes to pack and to leave the seminary. And he ran a clandestine seminary. He ordained priests in Slovakia clandestinely, secretly. Bishop Hirka, who I knew, Greek Catholic bishop, who I talk about too a lot of times, he worked too. A secular job. They all had to work secular jobs, but they were priests in secret. The nuns who taught, they couldn't wear their habit anymore. They worked, but yet they worked. They kept their faith alive and secret. One last story. This is from a little booklet that I have. 5 Loaves and 2 Fish, Meditations on the Eucharist by Cardinal Francis Xavier Tuan. It was the Archbishop of Saigon in the 1970s when the communists took over Vietnam, and he found himself on that wrong side and found himself. 13 years he spent in prison in Vietnam. 13 years. 9 years. 9 in solitary confinement. 9 years. If you're alone one day, you don't play the radio, you don't go on your computer, you don't go on the internet, and you sit for one day in quiet. And if you're not used to that, it'll make you go nuts. It'll make you go crazy. Imagine 9 years of that. This is what he wrote, the prayer that he wrote. And I'll end with this. The past and the present. Beloved Jesus, this evening sitting toward the back of my cell without light, without a window in the stifling heat, I think with overwhelming nostalgia of my pastoral life. 8 years as bishop, living in the residence only 2 kilometers from my prison cell, on the same street, near the same seashore. I can hear the waves of the Pacific and the bells of the cathedral. Once I used to celebrate the Eucharist with a gold-plated paten and chalice. Now I hold your blood in the palm of my hand. Once I used to travel the world over to attend conferences and meetings. Now I am confined in a narrow cell without a window. Once I used to visit you in the tabernacle. Now I carry you night and day in my shirt pocket. Once I used to celebrate Mass for thousands of faithful. Now in the darkness of the night, I give communion under a mosquito net. Once I used to preach the spiritual exercises to priests, to religious, to lay people. Now a priest, who is also a prisoner, preaches the exercises of St. Ignatius to me through a crack in the wall. Once I used to have solemn benediction of the Blessed Sacrament in the cathedral. Now I have Eucharistic adoration and silence every night at 9 p.m., softly singing the Tantum Ergo and the Salve Regina, and concluding with this short prayer. Now, Lord, I am content to accept everything from your hands. All of the sadness, all of the suffering, the anguish, even my death. Amen. I am happy here in this cell where white mushrooms are growing up on my sleeping mat because you are with me, because you want me to live here with you. I have spoken much in my lifetime. Now I speak no more. It is your turn to speak to me, Jesus. I am listening to you. What I have, you whispered to me. Is it a dream? You do not speak to me of the past or of the present. You do not speak of my sufferings or my anguish. You speak to me of your plans, of my mission. So I sing. I sing of your mercy in the darkness, in my weakness and my annihilation. I accept my cross and I plant it. With only my two hands in my heart, if you were choose to permit me to choose, I would change nothing because you are with me. I am no longer afraid. I have understood. I am following you in your passion and in your resurrection. Beautiful words for us to ponder. How often do we come into this church or to any church and just take advantage of the Eucharist, not really knowing that Christ is really indwelling in you and me? How many of us have our problems, our issues, our needs that we need to take to the Lord? Problems, issues, sadness. But also, though, to speak of joy. How many of us have joy? How many of us have joy in the apostolates that we're doing in feeding the poor in this city of ours? That these churches are not only beautiful buildings in which they are, but there's also life in them. There's also life in them. What is the Blessed Sacrament for me and for you? What does it mean for us to be living and true, to really have Christ indwelling within us? You know, I share these stories with you from these holy men and these holy people that I've known. Why? Because they give me life as he gives me life to continue on. I know in my heart of hearts of hearts, I could not do what I do without the power of Christ in that Blessed Sacrament. Maybe, hopefully, you have the same feeling. God bless you.